plaudits all around for the folks at track and field and, of course, the operation folks. I saw my buddy Joey Mitchell, whose name got specifically brought up by track and field coach Ari Jenkins last week for helping to run the meet, actually. And they were 90 minutes afterwards making sure to clean things up after a full three-day weekend, the Bulls staff. And 90 minutes after that, I guess they were doing their own Olympics. See the video I retweeted on Monday morning. But, oh, yeah, a lot of USF student athletes were doing some work as well. We said they saved the best for last. And boy, this is a video that, again, I put out on Twitter. And that is Janaysha Hextall, the transfer from out in Arizona, finishing up the 4x400-meter relay victory for USF. And in an event, of course, where Houston dominated so many things, it was great to see the Bulls, especially when the Houston runner jumped, oh, I don't know, a good 10 meters ahead of Hextall. And oh, by the way, she turned it on around the last corner. Just check out the makeup of this team, and it tells you what a job that Ari Jenkins and his staff has done and has had to do to get in talent. I mentioned she's from Arizona. She actually comes most recently from Purdue. Gabrielle Desroger is a transfer, a graduate student from Wisconsin. Shania Benjamin, of course, right here in the Tampa area at Alonzo. She had a great weekend. We'll get more on that in a second. And Patricia Roshofa, also a transfer from Fresno State, originally from the country of Latvia. That is the makeup of your championship team. First conference championship in this event since 2003. The three outdoor titles for the women, that's the most since 2013. And Benjamin herself did it in the long jump on Saturday afternoon. And Janaysha Hextall herself did it in the 400-meter hurdle. So tremendous stuff. The Bulls had a sixth place finish. That is the best ever in the American. Again, a team that's, unfortunately, I have to say, kind of become accustomed to finishing in last place. And unfortunately, they could have finished higher because they lost 8 points. They were second in the 4x1, but got disqualified for a lane violation. It was disappointing to see that because I know the men were hoping to finish, well, second behind Houston, that they dropped the baton on the second handoff. So it didn't all finish great. The men were also sixth, by the way, their best outdoor showing since 2016. The 4x4 relay team did finish second and a school record. How about that? Duncan Agyemang, Monte Parker, Talawani Adebakan, and Stefan Moore Green, 3 minutes, 7.43 seconds. Also on Sunday, Shaney Davila and Hextall both got the previous school record in the 100-meter hurdles. So they were second with Davila and fourth Hextall, respectively, both with, well, the top two times now in school history in that event. Shaney also third in the 400-meter hurdles, and her time there was third best in program history. Desroger, fifth in the 400 meters, third best in school history. If you want to get all of the results for the men and the women, David Ajama was third in the triple jump for the men. And of course, we told you about Benjamin winning the long jump on Saturday afternoon. Stephanie Lambeth was fourth in the pole vault. Head to gousfbulls.com, and theamerican.org has the entire final results. We'll talk about those a little bit on our conference show, which is later on a Monday afternoon around the American. But let's get to baseball now. Bulls end up splitting the weekend series at Wichita, and what a performance they put on in the first game. Unfortunately, only one of the games was available via video on Wichita, and there were some great performances we missed, but we did get to see, at least I did, if you go back to ESPN Plus, you can check it out, what the Bulls did on Friday in the first of the doubleheader. They scored, get this, 7 runs against Wichita ace Jace Kaminska. The freshman was fourth in the country with a 1.23 ERA. That would be comprised, his ERA, by the way, of allowing, coming into Friday, 6 earned runs all season. The Bulls scored 7 against him. I'd say that's pretty incredible. They got it going in the second inning. Roberto Pena, a double. I mean, a solid double, a poke to left field. Daniel Cantu, also not fooled, drilled one down the right field line. Jake Sullivan hit one deep for a sac fly. And then Nick Gonzalez, also a sac fly, to make it 2-0. Then the Bulls really got it going in the third inning. Lane, Carmine Lane, getting used to hearing that name, singles. And after a second out, Matt Ruiz was hit by a pitch, and Pena hit an absolute bomb, 3-run homer, pulled it over the scoreboard, made it 5-0. And that was not the end of the impressive home runs against Kaminska, as after a leadoff walk to Riley Hogan in the top of the fifth, Roberto Peña hit a big double, and then Cantu, straight away center field, blasts a 3-0 pitch, and the Bulls were up 7-0, and Jace Kaminska was out of the game. So the guy with all the stats and the hype gets the loss, and Dylan Burns gets his second straight game with 10 strikeouts, goes 6 innings, throws 102 pitches, only 6 hits and 1 run allowed, and the Bulls were off to a good start. However, final score a little misleading. They lose 9-3 in the nightcap. Colin Sullivan did a pretty good job pitching for the Bulls. They did hand him after it was 0-0 through the first 4 innings, and Wichita got on the board in the top of the 5th. The Bulls took the lead in the 6th as they got, again, a double from Lane to get things going. Even though there was a fielder's choice with Lane cut down as lead runner, Ruiz would follow with a single, a 3-0 walk to Peña, a bases-loaded walk to Cantu to tie the score, and a sack bunt by Jake Sullivan, so the Bulls were ahead. However, to Wichita's credit, it came back with 3 runs. Back-to-back triples really got them going in the bottom of the 6th. Then the Bulls' bullpen, frankly, did not do a good job as a couple guys struggled in the 7th inning, with Wichita able to tack on 5 runs on just 2 hits in the inning, and that's how that game ended. So, series even going into Saturday, and again, a great offensive showcase. This time it was the Carmine Lane show, and he got plenty of support from the long ball. Jake Sullivan blasts one out in the 2nd inning. Carmine Lane does the same in the 3rd. Lane adds a 2-run homer in the 4th. He would go 4-for-5. The 4th RBI, by the way, he came up with the bases loaded in the 7th, and they said, yeah, we're going to walk him on 4 pitches and just allow 1 run instead of 4, I suppose. Peña also homered in that game. 14 hits for the Bulls, and they win it. And Jack Jasiak, who's settled into, you know, out of that top spot in the rotation, a little less pressure on him, and he's done great. 6 2/3 innings, 2 wins in a row. Struck out 8, just allowed 3 hits. And Logan Lyle finished it out with 2 1/3 innings, 3 hits, and 4 strikeouts. However, Wichita State would get the win in the finale, and the Bulls look like they had this going. How about first 2 pitches of the game? Carmine Lane, coming off his 2-homer day, hits the first pitch he sees. Riley Hogan hits the second pitch out. Later, Nick Gonzalez, another home run. You can't stop him. Had the Bulls up 4-1, but that was in the top of the 4th. Wichita came back with 2 runs in the bottom of the 4th, tied it in the 7th, and took the lead with 2 runs in the bottom of the 8th inning. Wichita was able to go to its closer to pitch the last 2 innings. The Bulls' Orion Kirkring really struggled. He pitched 2 1/3 innings, only gave up 1 run, but he walked 5. The number of the day was his line. He had 48 pitches, 20 for strikes, and that's when Wichita was sort of hanging around in the game, and the Bulls' offense sort of fizzled out, and they lose it. But still, plenty of encouraging signs. Lane, by the way, 474, 9 for 19, 3 homers and 5 RBI. Peña hit 533 with 5 extra base hits. He also stole 3 bases. So the Bulls are getting the pitching together. They're getting the offense going. And as I've been saying all along, it would not be the worst thing in the world to finish in the 6th spot. And sure enough, they're in a 3-way tie for 4th. There's some math involved. We'll get into it later in the week. You know I'll get into it while I'm doing the broadcast. Thursday doubleheader against ECU. Friday and Saturday, we'll figure it out, because I will be in Gainesville now with softball, as we found out that great news. Also starting today, the men's golf team in the NCAA tournament, Noblesville, Indiana. Albin Bergstrom will be the last to tee off as the number 1 starter for the Bulls, followed by Luke Gifford, Sam Nicholson, Kyle Flexenhar, and Run Yuprayong. They're looking to finish in the top 5. They've got 3 full rounds, so we'll have a day 1 recap tomorrow morning on Bulls Beat. That's going to do it for the Monday version. Thanks for listening. I'm Derek Sharp.